Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear. Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark again, Nuts for Art on the YouTube channel. Today is October 12th. I can't believe it. We're already into October. And it's Monday morning, and I guess officially this is called Day. Many people call it Indigenous People's Day, Native Indigenous. I don't know what they're calling it, but, you know, Christopher Columbus didn't exactly discover America, and he wasn't exactly a friend of the natives who lived here, the American indigenous people, or the South American people. He actually turned out to be a pretty heinous criminal, if you ask me. Normally on Mondays, I read the nuclear alerts. We only have 4 pages of them. I'm going to breeze through them. I'm not going to read every single one. I kind of think it's almost a waste of time to read about somebody getting 54% of their prescribed dose of a brachytherapy. That was one of them. That was the first one that was reported for October 6th. So I'm going to move on from that. Whenever I see that, I've sort of decided that I'm not going to spend the whole time reading about it when a patient receives an underdose. Anybody who's read the book Death by Medicine knows that, frankly, these doctors in the United States are minimally medically educated and can barely be called doctors. They haven't got a clue what they're doing to you. So if you go under the knife and allow them to put radiation into you, you know, God forbid. So the second one that is event number 51424 is from the Ohio Bureau of Radiation in Chillicothe, Ohio. I think we have that. That was the original one dated event date 9/23. So I suppose this is an update on this. It is not an update. It is a report of stolen general license material. Wow. There's certainly a lot of stolen material from these people, isn't it? Somewhere between 2:30, 23:30 and 04:30. So I guess that's what, 11:30 at night and 4:30 in the morning. A vehicle maintained by a staff member of the ODH Public Health Investigation was broken into at their residence, and a Niton X-ray fluorescence lead-based analyzer containing cadmium-109 radioactive source with a maximum activity of 50 microcuries was stolen. Wow. It was locked in a Pelican case in a locked trunk inside a vehicle, which, if you ask me, means that somebody knew what was in there. Not the first time. There must be some type of a gang ring that goes around and steals this stuff. So 51427, I mean, isn't that kind of amazing that I just like blithely say, huh, there's a gang. Talk about social programming. Next report, 51427. Again, 8 missing tritium exit signs. What the heck does that mean? Tritium exit signs. New 8 tritium exit signs were reported missing from the state of North Carolina. The new signs were placed in a temporary storage location during building renovations. They were discovered missing when the licensee was preparing to return old signs back to the manufacturer for disposal. The licensee believes that these new signs were inadvertently discarded in the trash. The 8 signs were manufactured in Isolate Corporation, and each contained approximately 6.22 curies of tritium. Inadvertently discarded in the trash. Do you hear that, folks? That didn't even hit the news. Each sign contains 6.22 curies of tritium. Curies, not millicuries, curies of tritium. The serial numbers of the missing signs were, so keep your eyes out looking for these one, folks. 1203962, 1203964, 1203966, 1203961, 1203900, 1203963, 1203902, 1203897. North Carolina will be citing the licensee for the loss of radioactive material. I wonder what that means. They'll be citing, which means they're going to charge them money. That doesn't mean they're going to be closing down their license or looking at them as being competent or incompetent. It just means they're going to charge them money. This is so off the chart, fucking outrageous. I must not know. What is an exit sign? That's an interesting thing. What's an exit sign? That must be some type of an insider thing. I need to find out what that means. Tritium exit signs. Exit signs have 6.22 curies of tritium. I find that fascinating. Okay, here we are at the next nuclear alert, and we are on October 6th. This is last Monday, folks. Or what day was the 6th? The 6th was Tuesday. Today we're not going to get one because it is a holiday, so we're going to go up to the 9th. 51444, manual reactor tripped during shutdown of a refueling storage. During the scheduled Unit 2 During the scheduled Unit 2 down power to start 2RF15 steam generator 3 control feed valve, failed to control an automatic or manual, resulting in excessive feed water flow. Control room operators manually tripped the reactor and aligned auxiliary feed water. No automatic RPS or EFS actuations occur. Plant conditions are stable. Thank God for that. All control rods fully inserted on the trip and no safety valve or relief valves lifted. The plant is supplying water to the steam generators with auxiliary feed water and removing decay heat through the main condenser. The unit is in normal shutdown electrical lineup. There was no effect on Unit 1. So that is Comanche Peak in Texas. Anybody living out there ought to be contacting that licensee and finding out what really did go on. Because they're saying they're all fully inserted on the trip and no safety or relief valves lifted. I'm not so sure I trust any of these people. The next one is at a power reactor, Braidwood, Illinois, event number 51450. Valid specified system actuation. What does that mean? Braidwood Unit 2 was performing a planned plant shutdown for refueling outage A2R18 in accordance with plant shutdown procedures while in mode 1 at approximately 15% power. Operators attempted to start the startup feed water pump. They call that SFWP, startup feed water pump. And the pump immediately tripped on phase A overcurrent. The 2A motor-driven feed water pump was manually started to maintain steam generator water level during the shutdown and subsequent cool down, while in mode 3, which is hot standby at 550 degrees Fahrenheit, the 2A MDFWP was manually secured due to pump inboard journal bearing temperature exceeding 200 degrees Fahrenheit operating limit. Wow. At 0105 CDT, an anticipated automatic auxiliary feed water actuation signal was generated on low steam generator level 36.3%, and both 2A, 2B auxiliary feed water pumps auto started. Also at 105, a reactor protection system reactor trip signal was received due to low steam generator level with a reactor not critical. Both auxiliary feed water trans operated as designated with the main steam pumps in service and the main condenser providing the heat sink. All systems operated as designed, with the exception of the S startup feed water pump, except for the startup feed water pump, and what was the other one? The MD feed water pump. What is the MD feed water pump? That was the main motor-driven feed water pump. Except for that, everything worked fine, except for the startup feed water pump, and except for the motor-driven feed water pump. We're fine here, folks. No need to worry. Fucking hell. These people just crack me up. I mean, it really, unless you laugh about it, you're going to spend your life super angry. They really have no regard for human life whatsoever, not even their own. The people working there don't even care about themselves. The next event is at a power reactor, event number 514551. Boy, that gets my tongue twisted. At Sequoia, Tennessee, non-emergency, invalid specific system actuation, 60-day optional telephone notification for an invalid containment isolation activation. Man, the code that these people speak in is quite annoying, and they do that intentionally. They must be giggling when they listen to our little nuclear alerts. This 60-day telephone notification is being submitted in accordance with blah, blah, blah to report an invalid actuation of Unit 2 Train B containment ventilation isolation at Sequoia Nuclear Plant. At 9:19 EDT on August 7th, during a planned performance of Unit 2 containment vent, the Train B CVI actuated due to an invalid HI rad from 2RM9131 containment vent radiation monitor. In addition to the Train B CVI alarm, unexpected alarms were received for 2RM9106 lower containment radiation monitor and 2RM9112 upper containment radiation monitor instrument malfunctions as they isolated for the CVI and 2RM9131 rad high rad alarm. Wow, so what that big, long, convoluted statement is that they had alarms going off that there was radiation. Upon investigation, the cause of the invalid high rad alarm was due to an exposed shield wire at the RM9131 detector. Preventative maintenance had been performed the week prior to the CVI, and it is believed that damage occurred at that time. So they damaged something while they were repairing it? Dumbasses. Control operators performed the enunciator response actions and verified by diverse indications that the subject conditions was an invalid high rad signal. There was no indication of degraded reactor coolant system parameters or fuel failure. Thank God for that. This is so unbelievable. I'm going to stop reading the rest of it. It's all just a bunch of blah, blah, blah. They're all saying everything's fine. Just fine. At the time of the event, the planned conditions for the high rad alarm did not exist. Therefore, the CVI was invalid. Therefore, don't you love these therefores? Let's don't look into it. Don't you and I wish we could wake up on Monday morning or Tuesday morning after a holiday and go to work and be completely incompetent and still get paid? Another reactor event at Beaver Valley, Pennsylvania, event number 451453, degraded conditions. Two reactor vessel head penetrations could not be dispositioned as acceptable. You poor people in Pennsylvania, man, you are getting radiated like nobody's business. On 10/5/2015, during the Beaver Valley Power Station Unit 2 refueling outage while performing a planned ultrasonic examinations on 66 reactor vessel head penetrations, it was determined that two could not be dispositioned as acceptable per the American Society of Mechanical Engineers in a reactor cooling system pressure boundary. The indications of the degraded conditions on these two penetrations are not enough wall as no leak path was identified. So what does that mean? Not enough wall. The indications of a degraded condition on these two penetrations are not through wall as no leak was identified. I beg your pardon. The examinations are being performed to meet the requirements of 10 CFR blah 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 to find potential flaws, indications well before they grow to a size that could potentially jeopardize the integral structure of the reactor vessel head pressure boundary. All 66 reactor vessel head penetrations are scheduled to be examined during the current refueling outage. Wow, that's on the 6th, so I wonder if by the time we finish with the week, we'll find out more information on that. So the next one is 51454. 454, did we read about that one already? 454, no, we did not. Where is this one at? Oh, AZ Nuclear Logistics, Fort Worth, Texas. Electronic position controller failed internal component. NLI manufactured or reverse engineered units to replace the existing obsolete electronic position controllers for NLI model NLI 10A LMP. The failed component with the controller was sized based on the original published ratings of the components installed. So what is this telling us? That these people, defects and non-compliance with an electronic position of a unit that they made. The remaining unmodified revision of zero units that were originally supplied has not been returned to the NLI for incorporation of the design of modification. The NLI recommends that the plant's earliest convenience, the remaining units will be returned to NLI to be retrofitted with the latest configurations. So this looks like these are some type of an instrument that are three units initially failed in the plant have already been returned to LNI for failure analysis and design modification. Once again, a story about complete gross incompetence. Everybody keeps their job. Don't worry about it. Power reactor event number 51455, 3 Mile Island, Pennsylvania. Emergency Declaredon Dorman. What? Emergency class is an alert. Now, I wonder if anybody near 3 Mile Island even heard about this. Alert declaration due to a fire in the auxiliary building. This was on October 6th, folks. I didn't hear a thing about it on the news. At 21:15, an alert was declared due to a fire at the auxiliary building affecting DCPA-1, the decaying closed cooling pump number 1A, and the A-train safety equipment. The fire is out. Thank God for that. The fire did not hamper operations personnel responding to the fire. On-site fire assistance was requested. Wow. The resident inspector will be notified. So there was a fire at 3 Mile Island. We heard nothing about it. I guess we hear nothing about any of these fires. Because guess what? I guess we're on a need-to-know basis, and we don't need to know. Right? There's an update. Okay, what was the update? Nothing. Following inspections of the electrical maintenance of the P480 volt bus was re-energized at 2305, and restoration of the previously running loads is in progress. Oh, thank God. They didn't kill everybody in Pennsylvania. Pilgrim, Massachusetts, an event at the power plant at Pilgrim, Massachusetts, event number 51456, unanalyzed condition. Don't we love that? Safe shutdown analysis for fire event. Another fire. Okay, on 1725, Monday, October 5th, while updating the site fire safe shutdown analysis report, Pilgrim Nuclear Power Station identified vulnerabilities in two specific fire areas that required a compensatory fire watch. The compensatory fire watches have already been established. The specific concern involves the unlikely scenario that fire forces evacuation of the control room. In addition, it is postulated that motor-operated valves cannot be operated from their alternative control location due to spurious operation caused by hot shorts in control wiring. The specific failure mode is described in NRC Notice 92-18. Engineering modifications under this development and schedule are under development and scheduled for implementation to address the specific IN9218 concern. Don't worry. At such time, let's see, what does it say? Based on the above, the condition is reportable to the NRC. So move along. Nothing to worry about here, folks. Wow. This is just so unbelievable. They just have fires and like, huh, no big deal. This was now October 7th. This is Wednesday. It's the 8 missing tritium signs. They reported an update. Let's see. What do they say about the update? No, they're just reporting the same thing again about the 8 missing signs. Event number 51431 out of New York. Lehigh Northwest Cement Company. That's interesting. Non-emergency. Lost strontium 90 calibrator sources. That's interesting. So again, another lost calibrator. Let's see how much it had. This device contained two microcuries of strontium 90 source. Now you notice the other 8 tritium, they had 6.22 curies of tritium. This one has 2 microcuries strontium 90 source. Huh. The licensee states that sometime between the original installation in 2001 and 2003, the board on which the strontium 90 source was installed failed and was replaced by a new electronic test board that did not require a radioactive source. Thermo Fisher did the installation. Neither the facility nor Thermo Fisher have any documentation showing the disposition of the strontium 90 source. That was from 2001 to 2003 they replaced it. Wow. A routine inspection by the New York State Department of Health resulted in finding that a Thermo Fisher scientific model 885326 serial number 87131 point level gauge calibrator source had not been used since 2011. Licensee efforts to locate the device following the inspection were not successful. The source has been deemed officially missing as of July 30th, 2015. Wow, but this thing hadn't been used since 2001 and 2003. So during the Bush crime family's tenure, it probably disappeared and they gave it to somebody in the Middle East to harm us, no doubt, those rat bastards. Okay, so here we are on event number 51433. New Mexico Rad Control Program, University of New Mexico Medical Center. Oh dear, that's not ever good when you get a university involved. That usually means something. New Mexico Agreement State Report, medical event involving uranium 90 serospheres. On 9/23/2015, a patient underwent uranium 90 serosphere treatment on their liver. Post-treatment scans indicated the patient had serospheres present in their stomach and liver. The circulated dose to the patient was 50 rem. The state of New Mexico will be sending to the inspector to investigate the cause of the event. So if there's a medical doctor that can understand what that means, but evidently it's something, that means that they pumped some radiation into some patient? A medical event may indicate potential problems in the medical facility's use of radioactive materials. I don't know about you folks, but this stuff cracks me up. Like, for real? You think? It does not necessarily result in harm to the patient. Really? Let's just pump some radiation into you folks, and you won't hurt at all. You won't taste it, feel it, or smell it, so you're good to go. God dang, the cruelty of these people. Event number 51455. You know, I'm sort of dyslexic on these numbers, folks. Again, Three Mile Island, Pennsylvania. Is this the same thing? Due to a fire, is that the same thing that we had going on the other day? 2115 on 10/5 was declared a fire in the auxiliary. Yes, it is, the pump cooling station. So let's see, this was an update. Following inspection of the electrical pump, the bus was re-energized and a restoration of previously running loads is in progress. Whew! So I guess we're supposed to feel grateful that they, you know, they're telling us after the fact. So they got the fire under control. Fucking rats. Here we are, next event, 51457, Grand Gulf, Mississippi. Off-site notification. Inadvertent emergency siren actuation. That doesn't make you feel good, does it? At 1333 on 10/6, Grand Gulf Nuclear Station was notified by Claiborne County Civil Defense that the public notification system sirens in Claiborne County had inadvertently initiated by Claiborne County. I apologize. I guess it's a bit early to be reading in the morning. In response, CGNS informed Claiborne County, Mississippi, State of Mississippi, Tensas Parish, Louisiana, the state of Louisiana, and other government agencies of a spurious actuation of the emergency response of the Claiborne County. The duration of the siren actuation was approximately 2 minutes. So they basically said they issued there was no emergency. So the emergency alert went out, and they're saying that there was no emergency. I sure would the frick look into that one, because I don't trust these rats. Huh. How does it accidentally go off? Somebody was having sex in the emergency room. They locked the door and tripped the thing, I guess, maybe. Stupid bastards. Okay, we're at the next one. The very last one for October 7th, 51458 in Dresden, Illinois, Electrical General Electric Hitachi Station. That's the licensee. Part 21 report, electromagnetic relief valve cutout switch. Following the return of the actuator that failed bench testing at General Electric Hitachi on 6/12, General Electric Hitachi notified Dresden Station of potential parts quality, potential failure of the EMRV cutout switch. EMRV, electromagnetic relief valve cutout switch. It had been determined that the notification is applicable to the Dresden Nuclear Power Station's Unit 1 and 3. That could be very potentially dangerous. The General Electric Hitachi investigation concluded that the electromagnetic relief valve cutout switch actuator assemblies failed to change state because of the failure of the cutout switch to fully close and provide the appropriate current path. Multiple contributing factors were discovered which could have led to the presence of the gaps in the cutout switch. The most significant of these factors is a change in the lever arm positioning, causing increased forces in the tension spring that prevent proper closure of the cutout switch. Design changes to reduce wear caused by the vibration of the actuator changing arm level position and also allowed for additional dimension tolerance, which tended to increase the force of the tension spring. So I guess they have some equipment that's faulty there at the Dresden plant. Wow. Safety significance, substantial hazard that could or could be created. Safety significance, that's what they call a substantial hazard that could or could be created. Identified condition of a potential safety hazard since it could cause affected EMRVs to fail to operate as designated, which could result in a loss of safety function. Potential to affect the minimum critical power ratio reactor coolant system, automatic depressurization system, and the low set relief function. So they're hanging out there by a string. Wow. That's you know, these nuclear power plants are all falling apart. This is the, you know, this stuff is kind of overwhelming for me, I'll be honest. This is so outrageous. It's unbelievable. State of New York on October 8th, and now we are on October 8th, folks. Last Thursday, this is what happened in the little nuclear world that they are not telling us about. Wow. State of New York Department of Health, Lehigh Northwest Cement Company. Event number 51431. Lost strontium 90 calibrator. A routine inspection, again, the inspectors are going out, a routine inspection of the New York State Department of Health resulted in a finding that the Thermo Fisher science model number 885326 serial number 87131 point gauge calibrator had not been used since 2011. Okay, so that's the one that got lost. So this must be an update. Why do they have it listed again? I don't know. But it's the same exact one that we just read from the event date was 7:30 when it was discovered. Did not, Thermo Fisher neither facility has any documentation to this source of strontium 90. I wonder how much more potential harm you can get from 2 microcuries of strontium as opposed to 6.22 curies of tritium. I should imagine that they are both completely horrible. Wow. So the next one is New Mexico Rad Control Program, University of New Mexico Medical Center. This event date was 9/23, so potentially we read this again. Oh, yeah, this is about the one that said the liver. It's an update. Let's see what it says. On 9/23, a patient underwent uridium 90 SIRS treatment on their liver. Post-treatment scans indicated that the patient had SIRS spheres present in their stomach and liver. The calculated dose to the patient's stomach was 50 rem. Wow. It does not necessarily result in harm to the patient. With 50 rems of uridium 90 posted to your liver and your stomach, it's not going to cause you harm? Really? Okay, so the next one on the 8th was an update. that we heard on 51434. This is from the U.S. Army now. This was from the Army. Missing Troxler. The U.S. Army missing Troxler. Wow. Stolen or lost LNM 1,000 times. Why does it say 1,000 times? The U.S. Army contracted with a common carrier to pick up two Troxler moisture density gauges from Life Cycle Management Center in Warren, Michigan, and deliver them to the Army National Guard Center in Muthin, Massachusetts. On 9/28, the common carrier tracking indicated that only one of the gauges was delivered. The ANG Center didn't receive the gauge until 9/29/2015. The RSO at the Army TACOM contacted the common carrier about the status of the second gauge. On 9/30, the common carrier informed the RSO that the gauge was misplaced and an investigation was underway. I wonder who the common carrier was. Misplaced. Who misplaces a gauge? The missing gauge is a Troxler model 3440 plus serial number 68419. Just in case you find it, folks, containing 8 millicuries of cesium-137 and 40 millicuries of americium-241. The Army will update this report as appropriate. Wow. And then here's an update. The common carrier located and delivered the remaining gauge to the proper location. Whew! Thank God. Notified RIDO Bowern R3DO ORTH, I don't know what that means, and NMSS event notifications via email. Wow. Grand Gulf, Mississippi, event number 51459. This is at a reactor. This was event number, event date is 10-7, which we just read about. So let's see if it's the same one. Secondary containment rendered inoperable. Yes, and was there anything that it said? Okay. Let's see. I think there's an update here. Two inner doors are required to be open during the surveillance in order to test the outer door. While open, those inner doors were attended by security personnel provided with communications capability. Following completion of the surveillance, secondary containment was returned to operable status at 0440 on 10-1 by closing the inner doors and maintaining them closed. The subsequent standby gas treatment drawdown surveillance test on October 6th was performed satisfactorily. So what they really had to do, they basically, the containment shells failed to shut. So they took their security guards, went in there, and they shut them manually. Wow, that makes us feel secure, doesn't it? It's unbelievable. So we're at the last event report for October 9th. That's today. And I'm kind of breezing through this because I'm hoping I can read an article by Mimi Gurman. And I'm glad we only have 4 days to report. So the U.S. Army, event number 51434. Was that the last one that we did with? That is the same one we did. And that was the same one that we reported on earlier, dated, the event date was 9/30. So let's see, the missing Troxler gauge. Okay, update from Karen McGuire to John Shoemaker on 11/40/10/1. They reported it and they maintained it, but so why do they have it listed again? They found it. I don't know. Maybe they just put it up there to fill their pages up. But there's no new information. We do have a new nuclear event that has happened. 51435 at Kansas City Department of Health and Environment, KU Hospital Authority. Medical event involving underdose to a patient. The therospheres of uranium-90 therapy procedure was found to have an underdose to the patient by 36%. The details are as follows. So I'm not going to read that. It affects one person. And I wonder what the medical implications are of getting just a little bit of radiation, not enough to really do any harm to the cancers inside your body, but we're just going to fill you with radiation anyways and hope you live. Rat bastards. So, next event, 51437, Texas Department of State Health Services, Citgo Refining and Chemical Company. Non-emergency. Nuclear gauge source disconnected. On October 1, the agency was notified by the licensee radiation safety officer that a source was disconnected and dropped onto a vessel. This was caused by a shutter malfunction which occurred on October 1 on a nuclear gauge. The source is the Omart model MDT serial number 840 GK cesium 137 9.5 millicuries source. Wow. A shutter malfunction occurred during a routine check of the shutter operation. This particular device utilizes a tape which is connected to the source. The tape allows the source to be lowered and raised inside a wall within the vessel. During the routine shutter checks, the tape disconnected from the source. At this time, the source is located inside the well near normal operational position. A radiation survey was conducted at areas which could contain general source is, I'm sorry. Let me go back to this. A radiation survey was conducted at areas which could contain general employee access. All radiation readings were at background level. I don't know if anybody would, I mean, I guess the employees there have to believe it because they go to work there every day. This event did not cause any additional radiation exposure than normal day-to-day operations, right? I guess you just accept you're going to get radiated when you work at a nuclear power plant. The gauge manufacturer has been notified and will be on site October 7th to repair the device. Here we are at a medical imaging, Lantheus Medical Imaging, event number 51438, event date 10-1. They're letting us know about it on when? 10-9. Nice of them to let us know. We're on a need-to-know basis, I guess. Lantheus Medical Imaging received notification that the dosimeter of an employed radiation worker indicated that a whole body overexposure of the month of August 15th. The indicated dose of 7,929 millirems for August and the 2015 total is 8,500 millirems. The employee is a technician in charge of operating the cyclotron and has been removed from radiation work. The licensee was notified the employee and is conducting an investigation. Wow, that would freak me out. That guy knows that he's going to be sick. No doubt he doesn't already have symptoms. Our very last event, folks, and we're only at 8:43. I think I might be able to get to this article. 51460 in North Anna, Virginia. It's a reactor, North Anna. Accident mitigation. So glad they did it. High energy line break door found unlatched. Wow. At approximately 21:47 EDT on October 7th, a high energy line break door between the turbine building and the safety related emergency switchgear room was determined to be unlatched. The door was immediately closed. Investigation determined that the door was unlatched for approximately 47 minutes. At 16:17 on October 8th, it was determined that Unit 2 ESGR was outside the design analysis for Unit 1 HELB. ESGR is Emergency Switchgear Room. And high energy brake line is outside the design for unit one, high energy brake line. That's what line brake. The high energy line brake in the TB with the door open could result in equipment in the Unit 2 ESGR experiencing high temperature, pressure, or humidity beyond conditions analyzed for equipment qualifications, which was the potential to render redundant safety equipment inoperable. So essentially, somebody left a door open for 45 minutes, and it could actually could cause this equipment to be inoperable. The condition is reportable, blah, 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 to maintain safety, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, they're going to be real safe with us. They could give a crap about any of us. Try talking to them. You know what they really care about? One thing, profit and money. That's all they are. They're profit whores. So, you guys, we got through that pretty quickly, and I'm really glad we did. There is a quick article that I want to read, and I hope I can get through it. Amy Gurman from No Nukes Northwest has written several articles for Counterpunch, four of them. This is her latest one, and I'm going to read it very quickly. We have approximately 10 minutes left. I think I can get through it. It's called Follow the Radiation by Mimi Gurman. Miriam Gurman, that's her name on the in Counterpunch. And what was the date? August 7th, 2015. Today, I feel like David and Energy Northwest, the owners of the largest of a large nuclear reactor in Washington State, the Columbia Generating Station, is my Goliath. My slingshot, Truth, and I fight against Goliath. Symbolic here of radiation. I have now figured out how to win this fight. If only others would join me, along with those of us who have been fighting Goliath for almost 70 years, and the answer was waiting for me to find it. It took 3 years of following radiation readings around the U.S. to figure this out. Sometimes we are told to follow the money. In this case, I follow the radiation. After tracking readings and following the NRC, how the NRC and the EPA worked, I realized the symbolic relationship between these two groups were where the answers are hidden and where the answers could be found. I will explain. Since writing my first article 4 months ago, publishing Counterpunch, titled Why Fukushima Ended the Nuclear Debate, there have been about 11 reported NRC events from Columbia Generating Station. I ask myself each time a new event occurs, how many near misses can one nuclear plant have before the next Fukushima attacks us from within? When does this luck run dry? I also ask daily, why won't the Nuclear Regulatory Commission shut down nuclear power plants before luck turns the corium molten, before luck turns to corium, molten nuclear core? I'm going to read that sentence again because I messed it up and it's a good sentence. When does the luck run dry? I also ask daily, why won't the Nuclear Regulatory Commission shut down nuclear power plants before luck turns into corium, molten nuclear core? Corium is molten nuclear core, for those of you that don't know. In order for you to understand what is truth and what is pure fiction, you must know a few key factors. Obfuscation is an imperative, a must-have tool by the EPA and the NRC by nuclear companies to, quote, protect you from what you do not know. I'll repeat that last part, to protect you from what you should not know. Let me further explain. To understand viscerally the truth behind how much radiation leaks at a nuclear power plant under, quote, normal, unquote, operations, I pulled graphs of radiation leaks directly from the EPA's site from their RadNet monitors that were placed in this case in Richland, Washington. Then I went to the NRC's website to gather the nuclear alerts that occurred from the planned refueling shutdown of the Columbia Generating Station just before May 9th and July 23rd. I've listed the NRC events as they were posted on the NRC page from which I copied the data, followed by the events superimposed on radiation graphs themselves, so that you can see how they relate to each other and what the radiation looks like to the EPA. The measurement at the EPA sites are counts per minute, reading the amount of ambient radiation in the air. For comparison purposes, EPA counts in Seattle hover around 50 to 80 counts per minute. Seattle is 200 miles west of Richland. Notice the baseline graph of these graphs is from Richland. On May 1st, rod position indicator systems, unplanned outage, major loss of assessment capability. May 9th, Columbia Generating Station shuts down for refueling. May 13th through the 15th, event number 51068, loss of radiological assessment capability due to non-functional radiation monitor. Rad spikes to 450 counts per minute. Then she's got two pages of graphs, guys, that is really awesome to look at. It basically shows us that it goes up normally around, I don't know, anywhere from 250 counts to 450 counts near Washland, Richland. May 22nd, event number 51086, emergency diesel generator start due to actuation of undervoltage circuitry. Rad net spikes to 360 counts per minute. On May 27th, event number 51094, area radiation monitors non-functional during planned bus outage. RadNet monitors show steady increase to 260 counts per minute to 285 counts per minute. June 2nd, event number 51109, defective circuit breaker, secondary closed latch. RadNet spikes to 285 counts per minute with additional spikes on June 7th and June 8th to 290 counts per minute. June 26th, event number 51182, half scram. Two reactor vessels failed high. RadNet monitors show steady increases over the next 2 days of 265 counts per minute to 320 counts per minute. July 8th and 10th, RadNet shut down monitor for 2 days. Wow. So it started spiking, and so they just shut down RadNet. July 13th, event number 51228, secondary pressure containment increase above technical specification limit. What happened during the 2 days of RadNet monitor shutdown? We have no idea. One might ask after seeing these charts, where does the radiation go after it passes over the EPA's RadNet monitor for detection? Which way was the wind blowing? What were the radioactive elements that were released? And what does that mean to the food chain and to the human bodies? Who will get cancer from each release of radiation, and how many will suffer? Was anyone notified? You will not be notified. Some people near nuclear reactors will have been supplied inert potassium iodide tablets to block the uptake of radioactive 131 and 129 should they be released. But you must take them before the radioactive gases reach you. However, almost certainly the owners of a nuclear power plant won't tell you when you should be taking them. The dispensing of iodine tablets, no matter how rare the occurrence, is a telling piece of evidence that the nuclear companies are aware that nuclear plants leak and cause cancer. How do I know they know this? There is a report that needs to be filed with each nuclear plant to the NRC called the Effluent Release Report. The report linked here from CGS, Columbia Generating Station, also explains all the ways that the Columbia Generating Station released radioactivity to the people and the environment in 2014. When I asked the resident inspector of Columbia Generating Station how the NRC allows a nuclear plant to run knowing it has radiation releases, He said the releases at a nuclear power plant are as low as reasonably achieved. There's always some amount of release coming from Columbia. That does not make me feel safe, and the fact that there are no safe limit of radiation, no one reading this should feel better either. You will hear PR talking points like the dose report is only 0.1 milligram. But what they won't tell you is that with each new dose is cumulative and as to previous dosages you have received from dental x-rays, etc. And therefore, if you live near a nuclear reactor during routine operations, you will receive doses of radiation that you should never have been exposed to. Quote, if you pollute when you do know there is no safe dose to respect, causing extra cases of deadly cancers or heritable infects, you are committing premeditated random murder, unquote. That's from Dr. John Goffman, PhD, MD, comments on a petition for rulemaking to the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, May 21st, 1994, unquote. You have seen what I've seen. You know basically what I know. You know that communities near and relatively far from nuclear power plants are getting dosed with radiation, an act that is sanctioned by the NRC. You can see for yourself in the charts I've presented. We know that in accordance to Dr. Ian Farley and studies reported to in The Lancet, that workers at nuclear power plants develop leukemia at more than double the previous estimates in studies from 2005. The essence of the argument against nuclear is that nuclear power kills. Its origin of intent was destruction through the creation of plutonium to make nuclear weapons. Nuclear power has killed and sickened large numbers of Native Americans, but no one really knows because the research necessary to estimate these health effects has never really been done. The nuclear catastrophe in Fukushima will kill thousands in Japan. Nuclear power plants has already killed over 1 million people in Russia, the Ukraine, and Europe after Chernobyl. Nuclear power killed people in Pennsylvania after Three Mile Island. Nuclear power is killing people all over the world and will continue to do so for the rest of time because of persistent leaking of massive amounts of radioactive waste into the food chains. On this 70th anniversary of the mass killing in Japan from Nagasaki to Hiroshima, please stand up and renounce nuclear power as unsafe, unclean, and outrageously expensive. Tell your local 350.org to include nuclear in their messaging and actions for the planet. Tell all your environmental groups to embrace a full nuclear boycott campaign in your area. Details in the next article. Be smart, be clear, be active against radioactive. No nukes. And that is from Mimi Gurman. She's the director of radcast.org, which was founded. She also founded No Nukes Northwest in 2012. And please do go to the GoFundMe page. I'm going to put a link up. Radcast is crowdfunding to buy a gamma spectrometer to set up the People's Lab here in the Northwest so that we can start testing our food. We really need your help. I'm going to put a link down. I don't know how to mirror it on my page, but I'm going to post the link to the GoFundMe page when this gets posted back up. On Wednesday, folks, we do have a pretty awesome interview with Sean from the SGT Report. I have some questions to ask him about his recent videos he's been putting out about the economic market. I really appreciate your listening. Thank you for supporting UCY.TV. And we will see you guys on Wednesday. Put your courage feet on. We definitely need it.